into the Apostles' Creed is really sort of the base of Christianity. And out of this, you know, as Christians, these are the core that you have to believe to be a Christian, right? Does that mean we agree on everything else? No. I mean, everywhere you go, there are various churches all over the place. Stockton now has what? One, two, three, at least three churches in Stockton Springs, right? Go down, Safe Harbor is, that's Prospect. That's Searsport, right? That's you guys down there, right? I don't know how many churches are in Searsport. Go through Bucksport. It struck me going to Barbara Tilly's funeral. Just right there, there's like five churches all within, let's say spin distance, but that's not polite, but all within that little circle right there, right? So we have disagreements on other issues as we starting to define some of these things and look at other issues. But the core are the same. And someone asked me last week, because I showed up the Apostles' Creed, and I'm going to go ahead and read that this morning. But one of those things talks about the communion of the saints. And now I get ahead of myself. But the Bible uses the word saints. You know what he's talking about, right? Who are the saints? We're the saints. The Bible calls us, we are all saints. They're not highfalutin special people who are up in heaven. No, we are the saints. We're the called ones. And so there are Christians, I believe, in all these different denominations. Anyone who puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is saved. And so it's not contained in one building, right? And there are people who come to church probably here who have never made that conscious decision to trust Christ, right? So not everyone who comes here is saved, right? Coming here doesn't save someone. It's all an acknowledgement of what Christ did on the cross for our sins. And we put our faith and trust in him. So this morning we're going to take a look at God the Father. We're going to break this down, right? We talk about the idea of the Apostles' Creed. Go ahead and read that this morning, just kind of a refresher, and we're going to take and break this down over the next couple of weeks. It says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to descended to the dead, and on the third day rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and everlasting life. Out of this whole study, if you get one thing out of it, is that the word Catholic just means universal, right? So you'll never fall for that. So in here, and when we talk about the Roman Catholic Church, it's the church out of Rome with the Pope and all that. So it's a Roman Catholic Church. The word Catholic just means universal. And I think that'll be the last time I explain that. Maybe. I always feel compelled. Because every time I say that, people will kind of rustle up, right? You said the Republicans turned it down, right, because of that phraseology. I had a problem with it, right? Because people kind of freak out. So anyways, I want to take just that first point. Says, I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. We talk about the idea of who God is. The Bible is really simple. Actually, God doesn't kind of explain himself. The Bible starts off Genesis 1:1. It says what? In the beginning, who? God created the heaven and earth. This is our introduction to God. And we're going to see throughout this that it talks about in the creed that God is the creator. And most of the verses actually I pull off here talk about God's relationship with his creation. Because God is God. There is no other gods beside him. Samuel says, no one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Now, compared to other religions around the world, you think of Hinduism, where they have hundreds, if not thousands, of different gods. If you go back and you look at the stories of the past, all the mythologies, talk about, you know, one of the things when I was in school, I enjoyed Greek mythology. And all the gods and how they all came about and all the, you know, this one spawned off of this one and this one and this one, right? And it talks about all the gods. The Bible is clear. How many gods are there? There is only one God. And there is none like our God. And he is great, the Psalms tells us. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. And he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Notice what it says here. All the other gods are what? Idols. They're just man-made things. Right? That in here, made out of stones and sticks and precious metals, in here to be worshipped instead of God. And there is, Romans chapter 1 tells us that since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God is reflected in his creation. Right? We sing the song, How Great Thou Art. And one of the verses is, when through the woods and forest glades I wander, right? I consider all the works that he has made, all these things we go down through. Look at this creation, and we see that there is a God. I believe that it takes more faith to believe in something like evolution than it does to believe in a God. You look at the complexity of what's going on, right? I mean, this morning we took a whole bunch of prayer requests, talk about people who have physical problems. If one thing goes wrong in your body, right, it just goes havoc. Several years ago, I thought I was having a heart attack. And it's kind of scary. I was going through and I was pain down my arm. My heart was pumping. My blood pressure was sky high. And I was like, and I told Cindy, I said, I don't feel good. She goes, why? What's wrong? And I'm one of these guys that I'm like, you know, how you doing? I'm like, I'm fine. You know? And so, usually if I start complaining about this, Cindy's like, well, what's going on? And I was like, well, I'm having this chest pains and I'm having this. And she goes, you know, we need to take you to the ER. I said, that's fine. You stay here. I'll drive. I'll drive myself to the hospital. And she's like, yeah, no, you're not. I'll make sure you get there. And so we get to the ER and they run a bunch of tests and come to find out my potassium was low. And he goes, oh, your potassium. And that's all it was, potassium. Eat a banana. Right? But because of that low potassium, he goes, basically what happens is you have muscle cramps if you have low potassium. Well, guess what your heart is? It's a muscle. He goes, basically, you're having heart cramps. And so they pumped me full of potassium and brought my levels up, and I was fine. They ran some other tests on me just to rule it out. But that's all it was. One little thing was off in my body. Wow, talk about how complex we are. Right? Look at the ecosystem. We talk about people who are environmentalists, and you look at the world that's there. And all things are played out. Right? All these things point to that there is a God. And also we see some things about God. These are God's attributes. It's interesting if you actually, I went back and actually did a 3 or 4 week study on this. If you go back a couple of years ago on YouTube or Facebook, you can watch all that. I'm not going to break all these down this morning because we'll be here we'll be eating supper together. We'll be watching the Super Bowl together. Right? But in here, these are attributes that God is. God is love. Everyone loves that one, right? God is love. But that's not all God is. God is just. God is merciful. God is righteous. God is holy, right? We look at these attributes that God is love, but God has to judge sin. He's righteous. He's just. All these things come into play, and he is merciful. You know, we look at the idea of what Christ did on the cross, and we have God satisfying his holiness with his love. Because his justice would say that we deserve punishment. Right? Don't you hate it when someone gets away with something? Right? You see some horrible crime, and you're like, oh, they got away with it. And we have a sense of justice that says, hey, that's not right. The Bible says the wages of our sin is death. We deserve death for our sin. And so God would have every right to punish us. We deserve death in hell. But God is mercy. And his love loved us. And that's why Jesus came, being holy without sin. He took the penalty for us. And so on the cross, we have God's justice being satisfied and God's love being satisfied on our behalf. What a beautiful picture that is. Right? Let me talk about sort of the natural attributes of God. We talk about God is omniscient. God is all knowing. God knows everything. Past, future, present. God's omnipotent. God can do anything. Right? That's why we come to Him in prayer. Is anything too hard for God? No. God's omnipresent. That God is everywhere. Right? We're gathered here this morning. God is here. Those who are watching at home, I had a few people say, I'm going to watch it at home. I'm down here because there's a few of us, and I feel kind of too high and mighty up there. Right? But God is with all those at home. God's with all the Christians who are gathered together today around the globe. God is everywhere. There's nowhere you can go. He is not there. God is wise. Right? God is immutable. That's a fancy term. That just means God doesn't change. And it's funny because, you know, when I first learned these things, I was like, okay, well, God doesn't change. What's the big deal about that? And the older I get, the more I realize how important it is. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our society changes. Right? What's popular changes. God does not change. And what God said, He will do. God can keep every promise. Right? Because He's all-knowing. Nothing catches God by surprise. God will accomplish all that He says because He's all-powerful. All these things come together. God is sovereign. He's the King of kings and He's the Lord of lords. And He is faithful. If you look at that first line of the Apostles' Creed, in here, all who God is. Second aspect of it is God being our Father. Look what it says here. I believe in God, the Father, what? Almighty. That He is our Father. 1 Corinthians tells us this, is yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we for Him, and the one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we're all things, and through whom we live. There is one God, our Father. Now, I don't know what's happened. I grew up watching Father Knows Best, Leave It to Beaver. And somehow in these shows, mom and dad were pretty smart. They had the solution, and the children would get into a mess, and there was a lesson to be taught. Right? The good days of television. And something happened along the way. I don't know if it appealed to just a younger crowd, but all of a sudden now, publicly, parents became dumber. And the children were the smart ones, and mom and dad were the fools. And we've diminished parenthood. And as a society, especially fathers, the amount of children who are raised without a father is staggering. Not long ago, I was looking at some numbers, and they talk about the number of boys who do not have a man in their life. You know, single mom, go to school, they have all female teachers. And it's really shocking to look at all those differences. And I know life happens, you know. Circumstances come into our lives that we have no control over. But we got to be careful of this trend that we have in society that we diminish. Dad has become sort of the joke. You see all the commercials and all that. Dad's the dumb one. He's like just the extra kid, right? He's all these things. Somewhere along the line, a lot of guys have played into this because men aren't raising up to be stoics and fathers and all that. They're staying home playing video games and letting mom take care of everything. And that's not the way it should be either. But is it any wonder, I believe, Satan is really tore down the family, especially diminished the idea of fatherhood. You guys know, growing up, my dad wasn't around. And I know reading the scriptures when I talk about God being my Father, I had a really hard time comprehending that. Because our earthly father reflects upon us as we think of our heavenly Father. And I really wrestled. And it really wasn't until I became a father that really the scriptures kind of opened up, because I wanted to be a good father. And God is a good father to us. That in here wants to give us good things, does what is best for us, not always what's easy for us. I know as a father that sometimes I make my daughter do things that she doesn't want to do because it's good for her. God so much does us. He disciplines us. Not because he hates us, but because he loves us. 1 John tells us, reminds us, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we are called his children. It's interesting because God is not a God who's so far away. God is not detached. Actually, the reason why we have the idea of Father is because it's a relational relationship we have with him. God wants to have a relationship with you. And the fact that God Almighty knows how many hairs are on your head, he knows what you're going through, he knows your struggles, that's an amazing thing. I had, once again, call customer service. And once again, I was put on hold. Bounced around. And if anyone's listening to this, okay, when they break in and say, your call is very important to us, no, it's not. Because if it was, you'd answer it, right? And I'm convinced, I don't know if this is true or not, anyone involved in sales, but I'm convinced that they play the world's worst hold music to make you hang up. Because I can't put up with this anymore. Click. But I put on speakerphone and walk around the house, which the whole family appreciates. But God cares. When you come to him in prayer, he says, come. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. What a loving God we have. But not everyone has that relationship. John chapter 1 says that he was in the world, and the world was made through him, talking about Jesus Christ, and the world did not know him. He came to his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe on his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor by the will of man, but by God. I always kind of cringe because you'll have people say, we're all God's children. That is not true. We are all created in the image of God. But it's interesting, Jesus told the Pharisees, you are your father, the devil. The only ones who have a right to be called the children of God are those who have accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Those who believe on him. And because of that, we are adopted. We are brought into the family. And now we have the right to be called the children of God. We can call God our Father. And no one can take that away from us. So as we talk about God, we talk about who he is, we talk about his relationship to his Father. Lastly, the last phrase of this line talking about God is he is our creator. It says the creator of heaven and earth. And already a lot of these verses we talk about exalting God as our creator. Because of that relationship, right? We are his children because he has created us. He has given us life. The world we live in, all the stuff I have, come from his hand. He is the creator God. As we already looked at Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God, what? Created the heavens and earth. All that we see was made by him. Therefore, guess what? It belongs to him. Right? We have no right, a claim to anything in this world. All that we have belongs to him because he is the creator of it all. It's interesting in Job chapter 38, 39, and 40. You guys know the story of Job. Job was suffering, and Job was kind of like, God, let me bend your ear. Right? God, let me give you a piece of my mind. You ever felt like that? And so God shows up in chapter 38. And in chapter 38, shows up and says, okay, Job, you want to talk it out? And Job all of a sudden is like, I got nothing to say. You know, it's amazing how tough we are, right? And Job 38 goes down through. I'm just going to pick up these first seven verses. But I encourage you throughout, if you get a chance, read the next two chapters. Because in here, he really kind of puts Job in his place. Because he says, who are you? Notice what it says here. Sitting the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now you prepare yourself like a man. Right? All the things that Job had been yakking about, all the things he had talked about, all the smart mouth, and God says, you know what? You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. Your knowledge is so small compared to mine. Right? And as a parent, I think a lot of us experience that, right? Have you ever had your child come up and question your decision? Right? What are you doing? And you're like, you know what? You don't know the half of it. You don't know all the details. Right? Yeah, it's interesting. I know when I was a kid, I thought I knew it all. I thought I was so smart. Blah, 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 blah. When I grow up, I'll never blah, 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 blah. Right? And all of a sudden I became an adult. There's a whole lot of stuff that I didn't know about. I didn't think about. I didn't plan for. Right? Because my knowledge was so limited. How much more so are we compared to God? Notice what he says. He goes, I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were your foundations fashioned? And who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. This chapter continues on, like I said, and into the next two chapters, talking about, you know, who tells the deer when it's time to have kids? Who tells the birds when it's time to fly south? Right? Who tells all these things? Who is in control of all these things? You know, I can't even control my own life, let alone the world. And the question is, who knows all these things? It's the Creator. You know, God calculated how close the earth would be to the sun, how far away the stars would be. Even all the snow that we got, God knows. And He's in control. This is where I kind of keep back and, you know, the world's going to be destroyed by climate change and all this other stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we need to take care of it. We need to be good stewards. But you know what? We will not destroy this world. God has that under His control. So in this, we talk about God is the Creator of all this world. He's much smarter than we are, more powerful than we are. Isaiah reminds us as well. It says, woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork he has no hands? The first tells us that we are the clay and God is the potter. He makes us. And so in this, we got to be careful. Why did God make me so tall or so short? You know, for a bunch of my life, I wanted curly hair because my hair is so straight. I have horrible hair. If I grew it up, actually, I had a barber tell me, he goes, you'd be perfect for a flat top. You know, I my hair is just straight. And I always wanted curly. Actually, when I was a, don't tell anyone, but actually, when I met my wife, she's hiding. When I met my wife, I had a perm. And then I slicked back the sides and had a little, you know, laugh. That was kind of, you know. Why is all this? Why did God make me this way? And we got to remember, the scripture tells that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are unique by God's design. Because he is your maker. He is your creator. And what a wonderful thing that is. And I truly believe it's our diversity that makes us better. I'm not like anyone else. I'm not like you. You praise God for that, right? You don't think like I do. And God made me unique for the purpose that he has made me for. And God has made you unique. He is your creator. Be used for the purpose and cause that he has designed you for. If you look at this idea of creation, it says, "Oh Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing that is too hard for you." You know, as we reflect back and we look at the power and mighty of God, as we come to him in prayer, there is nothing he cannot do. When we look at the news, you know, I feel like, you know, I thought maybe after the election, things would kind of calm down and you wouldn't quite feel that Chicken Little, oh, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Aye, aye, aye. You turn on the news now, the sky is falling. It's the end. Oh, yeah, it was funny because on Facebook, you know, when Biden was president, I had all my friends, you know, I had a bunch of friends who were trash talking and hateful. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm thinking, all right, guys, you know, calm it down. Da, da, da. You know, like, well, maybe after the election. Well, no, now I got my other friends on this side who are like, the sky is falling, it's all doom and gloom. Everything is, it's like, oh, come on, right? God is in control. And nothing is too hard for him. Actually, I love this because there's one little verse, part of a verse, that I have to remind myself of. And this is in Genesis, this is in the creation account. It says, "Then God made two great lights, the greater to rule the day and the lesser to rule the night." Right? God made the sun, he made the moon. I love this little phrase. And he said he made the stars also. Now, I don't know if you enjoy astronomy. Not astrology, astronomy, right? Looking at the stars, going at night. And I know probably three or four constellations, right? I'm not too keen on that. I know like a couple of them I can go out and point to. And every once in a while they talk about the meteor showers, and I need to go out and kind of watch those. And someone posted, earlier, talk about the Northern Lights. So we drove up on Old County Road, went out there and up in the hill to see if we can see the Northern Lights. And we saw a few green. I wasn't really that impressed. I was expecting, you know, but they were kind of cool. And you see these things played out. But you look at the pictures from space and the satellites we're putting on, and you look out there, and it's amazing. The more powerful telescopes we get, there's more, just more and more. And the complexities of it all. And the wonder that's out there, and the vastness of space. God says what? By the way, he kind of just threw the stars together. Right? God just, and I love this, how casual it is. Of all the creation, oh yeah, by the way, God just made the stars. How amazing is that? This is the God that we worship because he's worthy to be worshipped for all he is. Right? What is the end of all this? You know, Pastor, we're going through this creed. What does this all mean? Look, as we talk about the Almighty Creator God, there is no other God. He is the Creator. He is our Father. He is all this. Our desire is to worship him, to hold him, exalt him, and fill our hearts with praise. The Almighty God knows us, cares for us, he hears our prayers. What else can we do but worship him? There is no God like our God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we truly believe that you are the God, the only God. Lord, you are a great and you are awesome. And Lord, help us to live our lives for you. Lord, I pray that all of us will become your children, Lord, that through faith accepting you, Lord, we are adopted in there, and you are a good, good Father. Lord, help us to live our lives exalting you, worshiping you, for you are worthy of this and so much more. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.